originating live from the Food Nation Radio Studios in Orlando, Florida. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
We're talking about the whole mask issue today as it relates to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And going to restaurants, going to hotels, going to tourist attractions. And here's the thing. The whole point of the mask was to protect people from getting COVID-19.
That's what we were told.
So the last major pandemic we had was the Spanish flu. And recently, a study was done comparing what happened with people wearing protective coverings during that pandemic and the result afterwards and during, and what's happening now. So I wanted to talk to someone about this highly cited study that just came out and happened to be scrubbed off the internet almost immediately. It was taken down from Twitter. It was taken off everywhere. But I have a copy of it, and I'm going to provide it to you, and I'll tell you how to get it after we talk about this. But for right now, what I want to play you now is an interview that we started to do with a person named Dr. Rachel Pilch Loeb, a fellow at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And she completed her PhD at NYU and her MSPH at Johns Hopkins. I'm going to play you the raw, unedited. So there's no music, there's no polished production or anything. Nothing's been changed. I'm going to play you what we recorded before she got off the phone. So you want to play it, Michael?
Here you go.
Right now, we're talking with Dr. Rachel Pilch Loeb. She is a fellow at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
The reason we wanted to talk with you is, first, I want to establish, do you have any association with the CDC at all?
I do not.
Okay. Because we're talking about masks today in relation to tourism specifically and, you know, restaurants, hospitality, basically.
Okay.
So that's our concern and how it's affecting those industries. The whole seems to be public confusion about masks, about whether people need to wear masks, and all the issues that have recently come up surrounding that. I'm looking at a study here that was released pretty widely and then became a little bit hard to find, but it's called Microbial Challenges from Masks. Have you seen this study?
No.
Okay. Well, it talks about face masks during the Spanish flu pandemic. So you're not familiar with that?
The Spanish flu from 1918?
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So basically, they're calling into question, the people that authored this study are calling into question a couple of things, whether the masks were effective during that pandemic and how that relates to what's going on today. Do you see any corollaries between the two pandemics in relation to other comorbidities, specifically bacterial infections from wearing masks?
So I think it's important to take a step back. Having not particularly reviewed the study you're referring to, as you mentioned, it's pretty difficult to find at this point in time. Let's just take a look at what evidence is out there about mask wearing for this pandemic. The reality is, if we think about the 1918 Spanish flu, where over 100 years ago, the data is incredibly limited if we think about trying to make a valid comparison. And we're also talking about two different pathogens, two different viruses, right? The flu versus COVID-19. What we found, or what seems to be suggested from an overwhelming number of studies at this point in time, is that mask wearing is an effective way to reduce the transmission of COVID-19. And that's, of course, you should wear a mask only if it's safe for you to do so. If you have an asthmatic or other respiratory condition that limits your ability to wear a mask, absolutely understandable. But for the general population, wearing a mask is one of the most effective ways to reduce the likelihood of transmission of COVID-19.
Of transmission, you're not talking about fatality rates, correct?
Well, fatality rate is the likelihood or it's the number of deaths over the number of cases, right? And mm-hmm. so the way rates are calculated in each state varies on the quality of the data, of course. But the reality is a mask in and of itself doesn't necessarily prevent you from dying of COVID-19, if that's what you're specifically asking. It's a little bit unclear. But the reality is you can't die from a virus if you don't get it. So the goal is to reduce your likelihood of getting COVID-19 or of spreading it to other people. And a mask is helpful in that way.
Well, from what I'm seeing here, and this is cited, and I can send this to you if you'd like to see it before we continue, but it says that penetration of cloth masks by viral particles was almost 97%, and of surgical masks was 44%.
Yeah, it would be fantastic if you could share the study that you're referring to. There's a ton of evidence out there right now about the value of wearing masks, and so it would be really important to see this one study and how it compares to all of the other studies that are out there.
Yeah, and all the excessive citations that are in here, too. So let me go ahead and have Michael send that to you and give you a chance to look it over, okay?
Wonderful.
Thanks so much. Okay, so I didn't even have a chance to get into the whole bacterial thing because we couldn't even get past whether the mask was effective against COVID-19, not to mention she said, well, if you don't get COVID-19, you're not going to die of COVID-19, but what if you die of something else? That's what I was trying to get to. What if you don't die of COVID-19, but you end up dying of bacterial pneumonia? And the most interesting part of this study, which again, I'm going to put up online for you, is the following. I'm quoting from the study. Interestingly, the above cited paper, this is the paper about the Spanish flu pandemic, the above cited paper that found a majority of 1918-1919 pandemic deaths to be from bacterial pneumonia was co-authored by Anthony Fauci, MD, who has been tasked with advising the U.S. on proper response to the COVID-19 pandemic, yet has not publicly discussed the precedented risk of bacterial pneumonia. Your mouth is open.
Yes, it is.
You didn't know that?
No, I did not, because I didn't read all the way through this. This was 18 pages. Now, let me take you behind the scenes. I emailed her the document. I waited a little while. Then I emailed her and I said, hey, we'd like to reschedule, pick up the interview. She told me initially that she could only be available between 2 and 3 p.m. I said, okay, great. Let's see if we can get to, you know, back, pick this back up a little later and finish the recording. And
we'll
work
around your schedule,
yes,
we said.
Yeah, I work around your schedule and I heard nothing back. There is this mindset, or at least my impression, is that when somebody in academia is presented with a document such as this, which refutes what they've been touting for the past 9 months now, they don't want to hear it. And it's coming from Fauci himself.
That's why it was scrubbed. That's the reason why they scrubbed it, is because his name was in it.
That's probably the most confounding thing of all of this.
What this study says is more people were dying of the bacterial infections they were getting, pneumonia, strep, bronchitis, aspergillus, all the things that collect in your lungs, and you're not supposed to, your mouth, first of all, your mouth is not clean. Second of all, your mouth is designed to get rid of this stuff before it's deeply inhaled into your lungs. When you're wearing a mask, you're covering your face. All that stuff can't leave, so it replicates, okay? Mm-hmm. And when they tested these masks, even after 20 minutes, they had a huge rate of replication of bacteria. I'm just going to say it. The mask is dangerous. If you're worried about getting COVID-19, stay home. but the mask is dangerous. More people died of the bacterial stuff than the Spanish freaking flu.
So says Dr. Anthony Fauci himself.
And let's take it a step further. The employers, the schools, all these places that are making people wear masks in order to go there, you better be ready to indemnify these people if they get bacterial pneumonia and die. Because what I'm telling people is, download this PDF, print it out, take it with you to your school, your employer, and say, look, look at this. Are you going to indemnify me if I die, which is more likely, the longer I wear these masks, that I'm going to get a bacterial infection that could kill me? I'm telling you right now, and I'm the only one that's going to put myself out there and say this. That's why I think this show is going to disappear. You might as well just download this whole show, at least this hour, because this is the danger. We're being sold a bill of goods. It is not helping the health of Americans, and particularly children.
This study, by the way, let's mention again, we're going to post this on the website.
Yep.
We're also obviously going to back it up to other sites as well.
It has a ton of citations in it. Graphs, charts, information from the Spanish flu and charts from that. And they've also got a table from the Council of Foreign Relations in a survey of 25 countries. And there was no correlation between the number of COVID deaths and the percent of mask use. In some cases, it was lower, and in some cases, it didn't make any difference at all. In July of 2020, the Council of Foreign Relations conducted a survey of 25 countries with regard to COVID deaths. And what they found was the percent of mask use versus the percentage of COVID deaths per 1 million. There was no real correlation. In some cases, it was lower COVID deaths, and in some cases, it didn't make any difference at all. For instance, in Brazil, 90% of the people wear masks, and they had some of the highest COVID death rates per million at 694 per million. And then you've got the United States at 65%, and they have 653 deaths per million. So it's lower, even though less people are wearing masks, by about 30%. There's no correlation here. And that's what it says. As we see from the above data, there was no significant correlation with mask use and either increase or reduction of deaths from COVID-19. And it shows that masking has not accomplished the advertised function of reducing the number of positive tests, but rather seems to be correlated with an increased number of positive tests for COVID-19. Because you're breathing it in. You could be exposed to it, and you sit there and you breathe it in and breathe it in and breathe it in. Because your face is covered.
And because your face is covered and you're breathing God knows what else, it's going to have an even worse impact on your health. It just stands to reason, if you've got this dirty diaper with crap in it and you're sitting there breathing it and then you're exposed to the virus, your likelihood of getting even more sick seems
and she said,
to go up.
Well, you know, you're talking about 100 years ago. Well, it is known, according to this study, that the 1918-1919 pandemic was the last time human societies experimented with widespread long-term masking. That's why it's being used as a corollary.
As a comparison to show where we are right now.
You need to print out this study and carry it with you.
And read it, first of all.
When you go to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
just highlight the parts of it that are important. And when you go to the grocery store, say, look, this study says the mask could kill me.
It's also time to take this study with you and go to the city councils and the county council meetings.
And even the mayor.
And the mayor's office. Whatever, you know, jurisdiction you're under. And say, look, read this for yourself. imposing these mask restrictions are not making us better. They're making us more sick. And again, this study is on your website right now at foodnationradio.com in a PDF file that you can download, print it out yourself, and do something with it. Stand up for your health. Stand up for your rights.
And it is saved in 10 different locations, not just on the site. So it's not going away, okay? Not going away. I don't know what's going to happen as a result of this show, but I did the right thing in my heart, morally. This is the right thing to do.
All right, and on that note, we're going to wrap this up. Again, the PDF file is available for download on our website at foodnationradio.com.
When we come back, we're going to talk about cruising, where to go, what to do over the next couple of months. Stay with us. You've been listening to the award-winning Food Nation Radio Network.
Miss any part of the show? Download the podcast and listen anytime. You can also hear interviews and highlights of previous shows 24/7 on foodnationradio.com. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern for Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty here on foodnationradio.com.